Hey, family, friends, loved ones, and new friends, welcome to the LLC. Make yourselves comfortable, relax your mind, leave that baggage at the door. Listen, those closest to me call me AR, and some call me Rush. Either one you choose is perfectly fine by me. Let me give you the who, the what, and the why behind the LLC. The who, the what, and the why is pretty simple. We talk spirituality, we talk business, we talk mental health. Most of all, let's talk about what happens every day in what I call hashtag in my zip code. In many zip codes, LLC represents a limited liability company. But where I come from, it most often represents laundromat, liquor store, church. My hope and prayer is that this podcast will be one of transparency, healing, and transformation. It is my desire to bring industry professionals and much more to your zip code so that you too can embark on a journey that revolutionizes the way that you think, feel, act, which will bring about new results in your life. So let's journey together. Life is better when it's shared. I hope you agree. Let's build some interdependency through trust and integrity. Pick your place, y'all. We can connect at the laundromat, the liquor store, or the church. So let's get it. Hey, family, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing well, very well. Resting.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, maybe you can shed some light on that for us. I know that's important to you. And yes, I want to introduce our listeners and our audience to my good friend. I am honored to call her a sister. She's our second guest on the LLC podcast and this show. Her name is Kenji M. Jones, but she has earned the right to be called Dr. Kenji M. Jones. She is a daughter, she's a sister, she's a wife, she's a mom, she's an entrepreneur, and she's an author. So welcome, Dr. Kenji. Welcome, welcome.
Oh my goodness, that's an awesome welcome. It is. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
I am very humbled to be here for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want you to, you know, receive all your roses and your flowers while you're here. That's another reason I'm doing the podcast with folks that I know, love, and appreciate, so we can celebrate you. So I want to get right into this. The first question I have is, Dr. Kenji M. Jones, and
oh wow, you know, that is such a simple question, but it's a kind of complex answer because I don't normally answer that question.
Okay.
I guess just to be completely transparent, I'm just me. You know, Kenji is just a fun-loving, easygoing, you know, individual who loves to laugh and enjoy herself, who loves life. And as I've completed this chapter in my journey, I've learned that finding out who I am and what it is that I really truly want is so important. And so that's what I'm embarking on next, is finding out who I am. But I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. And sometimes I get asked, well, do you only see couples and children? No, I see individuals, you know, I see families, I see couples, I see and do it all when it comes to the therapy world. Yeah, and I am an author. I've written two inspirational books. And yeah, I mean, that's about it. That's about it.
Okay. Well, that was a mouthful. And I sometimes like to, you know, like expound upon things. Because you said you're into finding out who I am, what I want. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we're expected to know this. You know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm just trying to get the recess. I don't know. I want cheese and crackers and donuts. I don't know.
Right.
So, like, I thought that was important because I think it will give people a release of stress and pressure if it's okay that you're still figuring out who you are. Maybe you're evolving. Is that?
I think it's very fair to say that I'm evolving, and I really liked the words that you used, saying that it's okay. If anyone knows me, they know that I really am an advocate for practicing self-care, and one of my favorite phrases is that it's okay to be okay. So, be on this journey you are, because as I mentioned to my clients, things that you may have enjoyed are, really, really had fun doing at, 19, 20, at 30, 40, you're like, no, that's not really me anymore. So I feel like we are all path, a journey of evolvement, to trying to find out who we are and what it is that we really, really like, what our true purpose is.
This self-care, this is not just like a hashtag.
Not at all. It is not a hashtag. It's not something that's trending. No, this is a true component to living a happy, healthy, and well life.
And I think that because a lot of people self, we feel good, rest, take a break.
Yes. I can, again, another transparency moment for me. I can definitely agree with you on that statement that, sometimes I would feel guilty, if it's a Saturday and I'm in the bed at, 2 o'clock. It's like, no, I got to get up. I got to get moving. And it's like, who said, who said that I have to get up and I have to get moving? And these are just expectations that have been placed on us and within us, not in a harmful way, but it's just something that we've always been nurtured to believe that at a certain time you got to get moving, you can rest later. As of late, I've heard a statement that says, you could rest when you're dead. It's like, whoa, that's not that's not something that should be circulating, because yeah, if you're working hard and you're giving your all 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when will you have time to enjoy and reap, the harvest that you've worked so hard for? So, no, self-care is something that should be practiced daily. And I know that I'm learning how to do it more often.
Yeah, same here. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So, Kenji, Dr. Kenji, what is your mission? I mean, you had to write a thesis and all that kind of stuff, and maybe I'm not calling you right. Please correct me if I'm saying misstating it, but what is your mission?
My mission is to bring knowledge to our culture in regards to mental health, mental wellness. It's something that I'm sure many of your listeners can probably agree with that, it wasn't always embraced in our community. It wasn't something that was looked at as a needed component. We've At least I've always been told, that what goes on in this house stays in this house. And also, you take it to the Lord in prayer. And there's nothing wrong with that. I am definitely a firm believer in my Lord and Savior. But I also know that He placed, resources on this earth to help us navigate. And I feel like, therapy is very beneficial. I wish that I could say that all therapy is good, but you will run into, where it's not that positive, but mental health is so important, and I just want to bring awareness and insight to it, because lack of knowledge, can lead to a little bit of ignorance. So if you don't know about it, you won't want to try to explore it. So I want to try and bring that to our community, that it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to talk to a therapist.
The societal conditioning, the ingraining, right? Like these things that you just mentioned, Black people don't do therapy and so on. So there was a TV show that I watched, and you and I texted about it a little bit, but it was an episode about therapy, and Black people don't do therapy, right? And it's a whole episode, and there was a lot of humor in it. But the reality is that it is real for us, and on our show, we call it in our zip code, right? It's real in our zip code that we don't do this. But I just wonder, how deep is this, right? How deeply rooted is this conditioning that we all know it to be true? Like, when you said what happens in this house, I could immediately finish your sentence, stay in this house. Like, what all did we go through, and how long ago did we go through it? Have you come across any of those things in your studies?
I have, you know, just lightly brushed across some of these topics, and definitely a very deep subject that requires research from, you know, anyone in this field who's interested in it. But for me personally, it requires more research, because what I'm speaking from a personal point of view. And my experiences, they don't, you know, they don't expound to everyone else. You know, it's not everyone's experience, it's mine. So when I'm speaking from a personal point of view. And then let me rephrase that. I'm also speaking from insight and I've received from peers, from colleagues, family members, you know, things that I've been told that they have had embedded in them from moms and grandmas and aunts. And so I think that this is just something that's deeply rooted in our generation, you know, to not feel the need to reach out for help, you know, to ask for help. Like, we have to be resourceful. We have to figure this out. And, you know, we have to deal with it the best way we can. If that means suppressing it, so be it, you know. And the, you know, kind of like the societal expectation when it comes to our men, you know, don't cry, you know, you're not no punk, you know, you're not weak, you're not supposed to cry. Those things are embedded within us. And whether we realize it or not, as we become, you know, adults and as we mature and grow, those things, they really affect us. They really truly affect us in how we process, you know, things that happen in our lives. You know, if we're hurt, we're not supposed to cry. You know, we're not supposed to show that emotion, because if you show that emotion, you're weak. But in reality, you're really strong because you're expressing how you feel. So I think it goes deep. It's deep, deep, deep.
Yeah. And I'm a believer that you can't just leave things on the surface and address them on the surface, if you will. You have to reach the root of the problem. Mm-hmm. In order to fix it, you know. Do you by any chance think that our avoidance of therapy, do you by any chance think that it's related to like our negative correlation and understanding of just the medical field, medical history with, you know, Black people? Do you think it's in any way related to that?
I think so. It's unfortunate that Black people have, we always seem to receive the short, we don't receive the same recognition, respect, resources that other cultures receive. And unfortunately, that has just created this, you know, this place of resentment, you know, to exploring different avenues of wellness, because we've never been privileged to receive it. And so that can definitely, well, that has definitely prevented us from, what's the word I'm looking for? From engaging in, you know, learning about what we need and what can benefit us. And then there's also the preconceived notion that therapy is not for us. I don't want to talk to, you know, I don't want to talk to somebody about my problems. I can handle it. You know, I don't want to talk to some white person about my problems. They don't know what I'm going through. They can't relate. And so all of these things just, it's just like piling on. It's like layers and layers and layers. And that's why I said it's deep and it goes back very, very far, generations. It's layers and layers of beliefs that have been just pushed and forced upon us. And now that we are in a space where we can, you know, use our voice and utilize the resources around us, we don't know how to do it. And those that do know how to do it are fearful because, you know, they're not, they don't have that, they're not comfortable.
So do you think that now that there are more zip code, more Black therapists, more therapists, that things will change? So conditioned by keep it in the house, take it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So
man, those old school terminologies and beliefs, they just stick with you. But to answer your question, I do feel that we are making a positive turn when it comes to embracing the therapeutic experience and community. It definitely helps to see more Black and Brown therapists out there. So I do think that we are, you know, making a turn and it's becoming more positive. But again, you know, it seems that in this field it's difficult for us to, you know, really outreach. We got to like join together and, you know, like come like with the mighty Russian wind and just like get out there in the communities and make ourselves known and present so we can feel comfortable with one another. But I do think that there's change on the horizon. I do.
Okay. The reason why I want what I had going on visiting with the therapist, weekly basis, talking, chatting, laugh and joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, oh, hey, I got that book that you mentioned. I started reading it. So for me, it's like a two-way street. I'm not going to say that every scenario works this way, but I would think when you find someone who's a fit, right, because the first person you see may not be a fit for you, and it's okay to keep looking around, and it works both ways, it's a two-way street, right? But I think for me, I would love for people to know it's not because something is wrong with you, quote unquote, that you go to therapy. We do things all the time that are preventative, such as, you know, going to the dentist to prevent stuff from going wrong, right? We and all that kind of stuff to keep our if we the same way but just for our mind, maybe that would help people get a little more comfortable. You know, avenues and vehicles such as this, just talking about it more, because one of my favorite classes, I think I've mentioned this before on the show, one of my favorite classes when I was in college was a class on normalcy. And this particular class basically just said for 10 weeks straight, whatever most people are doing, that's normal.
Okay.
So for right now, it's not normal to, you know, be in therapy or have a therapist. And I would hope and pray that it can become normal so that way people can go home or be home since we're quarantined a little bit, right? Be a little more happy. I mean, be joyful.
Right.
Be comfortable in your own skin. And gosh, maybe those who work in customer service will provide a little better customer service. Those who are in food service will smile when they drop off the plate. I don't know, right? But I just feel like there's so much going on in the world internally and externally that it would help people to understand that there are, you know, and in this time when we're, you know, doing COVID protocols or whatever that is, have you in your in say business, but like
definitely I have seen an increase in services. The issues that are being serviced are requested, the concerns that are everything has completely increased due to COVID, and that is, it's a plus and it's a minus, because the way society is set up, if it's trending, then it's the thing to do. And so for a while, mental health is trending. And it's like, it's good, you know, that it's bringing attention to the field, because we as therapists, we definitely want, you know, individuals that require the assistance to come and, you know, seek out professional help. But we don't want it to be something so everybody comes. And it's just like, I'm just coming so, and you know, so I can say, oh yeah, I have therapy. You know, I don't want to say it and, you know, kind of push people off, but I just want to, you know, kind of reiterate the importance, you know, of that experience, you know. And so when you embark on it, you know, make sure that you know what it is you're going for, or at least some ideas of what it is from it, you know, and not just let it be, oh, I'm going because it's trending, because it's the thing to do.
Okay. I'm on the...
That's a lot of...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that during COVID, a lot of things, I did encounter a lot of, well, I don't want to say a lot, but a nice amount of individuals that, you know, they were like, well, I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to see what it's about, you know. And it's like, okay, that's good. You know, you have to ask questions in order to, you know, get information. And then there's some that's like, well, my friends is going, so I was like, well, I'm going to go because they're going. And it's just like, okay, you know. So you got to kind of like break it down and explain to them the importance of this experience, you know, so that they don't waste their time, because they could actually be receiving some help, you know, receiving some, you know, some really good stuff. And
right.
I found myself having, and, you know, encouraging them to look at this as something that's beneficial and that's going to help you. Not something that you're doing just because everybody else is doing it.
And actually receive a benefit, or did it disappear after you left? Like, what was that?
Right. I had a couple that kind of disappeared, you know. Actually, I had one yesterday that kind of disappeared. Yeah. And then some, you know, they were like, well, I appreciate you explaining that to me. I understand the experience more. Now I want to do some, you know, self-exploration to see what it is that I'm searching for, what it is that I'm in need of. So it depends on the mindset of the individual.
Okay. Well, use that for a segue. I wrote a question, but it could be one. What drives you daily? What is your mission? And I... like you're about this. So what drives
what drives me daily is my mission, you know, to bring awareness and insight to mental health, the importance of learning about self and what it is that you may be lacking. You know, we walk around day in and day out making sure that we show up for everyone else, and we forget to show up for ourselves. And when we forget to show up for ourselves, that's when, you know, the sadness comes in. You know, maybe you're overworked, you're tired. Now you're resenting things, you know, or you're easily angered, easily frustrated, very fatigued, things of that nature. And that's because you're not showing up for yourself. You're putting yourself on the back burner, and you're putting everything and everyone ahead of you. And so we do it second nature, you know, we do it and don't even think about it. And I'm speaking from, again, a personal point of view. I do that, and I've done it in the past. And so when I realized that me doing this is not beneficial and it's not helping me, it kind of just, you know, gave me more of a purpose, gave me more of my reason why I do this, is to provide people with insight and knowledge and, you know, whenever I get that, wow, or I never thought of that, I'm like, yes, that's all I needed. That was it. That's all I needed. Okay. My day is complete. That's all I needed to hear.
Yeah, the whole care thing, it's popular, it's changing. I really, real, about a month ago, I was online with, she really was attempting to recognize me, and she made a comment stating, I'm so glad that you take an hour a week something for yourself. And she was utmost sincere, Kenji. Mm-hmm. And the way that my words, I heard it, I received it, responded, but I immediately said, an hour. The goal in the calculator is 27. That's 168. And mm-hmm. she said,
an hour.
She didn't mean it this way. So of now I'm like, all right, well, what is this? People about this.
Mm-hmm.
That is 0.009% of a week.
Not the math equation. Not the math. You did the math. Okay.
I did math. Well, I had to work. That's just the work the hardest in. But it was just like, you got 168 hours in a week. And
mm-hmm.
taking care mm-hmm. of you. Like, how long do you expect this going?
Exactly.
How long do you think this will be?
Right. Right.
I mean, you can't 10% of the week you spent. I'm too mm-hmm. You ain't even hit 1%.
Not
yet.
Even
like,
1%.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
I didn't realize it.
Right. And that's why I said that's what keeps me going every day. It's stuff like that, because I'm sure, well, I know that you consistently show up for everyone else. You know, mm-hmm. always you show up for everyone else. And in your showing up for everyone else, it's great, wonderful. Everyone is, you know, happy because they know Arian's going to be there. He's got this under control. Arian can do this. Arian can do that. But Arian's not showing up for himself. You have to advocate for yourself, you know, and unplug, mm-hmm. turn the phone off you have to go that far. Because some people, right. they're like, yeah, I can put the phone down. But as soon as you put it down and you get that notification, what do? You pick it up. And now you look at the notification, you're unlocking your phone. Now you're on social media. And what, you know, turned out, what started as, let me just see who sent this notification. You're now 2-3 hours in, you know, on Instagram, scrolling. So, yeah. You really have to make it a point to put yourself first. And that is just so important, you know, in self-care. It's so important to do. You got to put yourself first.
So let's hopefully mm-hmm. just putting yourself first look like. What do we do? What do we say?
Mm-hmm.
How do we help people achieve this successfully so that we can live better and live our best lives, as that sounds is?
Well, one way that you can put yourself first, one way is simply saying no. Simply saying no. So we have been conditioned to give an explanation for everything, you know. Can you show up to the party? No, I can't come because, you know, once you get that because or the because, you got to give a whole, you know, dissertation, a whole paper as to why you can't show up to this party when no is a complete sentence. No. And you know,
no is a complete sentence.
It is a complete sentence. You do not have to say it nasty. You don't have to get the head rolling and, you know, snapping your fingers and things of that nature. It's just a simple no. And that's it. No, I can't do it. And that's it. No, I'm unable to. That's it. You don't owe an explanation. Now, if you want to give an explanation, then that's fine. But sometimes when you give an explanation, then it comes, you know, with a whole load of responsibilities. Because if you say, well, no, I can't do it because I have to go, you know, pick up my son. Oh, well, what time do you have to pick your son up? You know, then it just turns into a whole another conversation. It's just like, dang, it's just a no. Just no. Polite no. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't. That's it. And just, you know, tell yourself, I don't have to give an explanation. No is a complete sentence.
Okay.
Putting yourself first pretty much means, you know, making some tough calls. You know, tough calls. Be easy once you start, but once you are consistent, then you'll be like, no, I got to put myself first. So, yeah, I'm going to say no, or I'm not going to make that commitment because I don't really want to do it. And it's okay.
Well, first, I know what you just said. I wrote it down. That was a complete sentence.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm chuckling. You told me no on multiple occasions, and now I know what it is. And like the last time we had an event in the house near.
No, you didn't. Okay.
So, don't they think, like, because, you know, social media will just destroy.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
For those that maybe don't have the resources right now, I can't afford to go to the spa, or I can't afford to fly off. You know, everybody going to Cabo. I can't afford mm-hmm. it right now. Or, you know, it won't mm-hmm. allow me to fill in the blanks.
Right.
Things. Self-care that require
passports and
traveling and all that good stuff. Yes, right. Big banks and all of that. Self-care is what you make of it. So it can, you definitely have to personalize it, because what one person may feel is self-care, you may not. So, if there are issues with time, money, both, what do you find relaxing? What do you enjoy doing? And that is a simple question, but I've asked it countless times and it completely stumps people. Because society has changed so much and social media has put so many expectations on us that we forgot the simple things. What do I enjoy doing? Because all I do is have my phone attached to my hand and I'm scrolling. If I'm not on Pinterest and Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, I'm doing something. So I don't even know what I like to do aside from being on my phone. So it's really important that you have to, you know, take it back to the basics and just think, what do I like? What do I enjoy doing? Because the smartphone has robbed us of that. Very simple.
Think of it that way. I don't know what I like to do, but being on my phone, I never even thought of it.
it's so normal. That's something that we have normalized, and we need to normalize other things. You know, we need to normalize taking care of ourselves, rediscovering, as I started off saying, rediscovering yourself. What do you like to do? Back in the day when we didn't have smartphones, we used to have to get outside and do something. We used to have to go mm-hmm. and find things that we enjoyed, whether it was mm-hmm. going to the local skating rink, going outside to plant some flowers, going for a walk, things that are free, you know, open, that you can do anytime at your leisure. We don't do that anymore because we are like completely attached to our phones and we are so, you know, overwhelmed with seeing what are they doing? What did they post? Where are they going? You know, what are they having? And now it's a competition. It used to be interesting, but now we're like trying to compete. And I would tell my clients all the time, you want to be a content creator. So you want to put things out there and you want to create the life and the environment that you live, because we all know that social media doesn't always give 100%, you know, I've MacBook, not Facebook. You only know what they want you to know. They're not going to post when they're going through it. They're not going to post when, you know, things aren't great. All you're going to see are the trips and the shopping sprees and all the clothes, all the good stuff. And so that in and of itself puts a lot of pressure on individuals because they're trying to, you know, keep up with what they're seeing. And that's probably not even true. So care can be something as simple as literally turning off your phone, not putting it down, but turning off your phone saying, hey, you know what? I'm unplugging for an hour, or I'm unplugging, you know, for the remainder of the day, and turning off your phone and getting back into what it is that you enjoy, listening to music, going in the kitchen and, you know, cooking, maybe having your own personal spa day. You know, you can always go to, you know, the store and get you some little bubble bath. I love the Dr. Teal's Epsom salts. If you have not tried them, please try them. They come in so many different relaxing scents. Create your own spa day in your home. You know, have a conversation. Do you know how many times me and my husband have gone out to eat and you look around the restaurant and all you see is this blue illuminating light coming off of people's faces? They're not even having conversations and they're sitting literally at the same table. Everyone is still on their phone. There's no social connection at all. So having a conversation can be so refreshing. You know, I've heard people, oh, I'll check on you. And what do? You send a text. No, pick up the phone and call. Self-care is self-care. Simple things.
Yeah. I wasn't going to do it, but you brought my big bro up.
Oh, Lord.
You've gone to... I'm just playing. Right, but... he is a... he never meets a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
30 seconds in, like, you know, that's just his brother, his sister. He just has a personality.
Yes, he does.
Some people.
Because right.
They're hurt and they're wounded. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think a lot here, the filter of our wound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to talk in. If we know how to communicate. And I don't know how to comprehend the person that actually said, even if they are talking to us, we can't comprehend it.
So true. Yeah. I have experienced all of that. You know, the inability to hold a conversation, you know, because our minds are so, so jam-packed with other things, you know, because we're not focused. You know, we're not thinking about it. It's like our attention span is so short right now, thanks to our lovely smartphones, you know? I mean, think about it. When you're on your smartphone and you go to a website or you're looking at something, it's instant gratification. Like you scroll, and every time you scroll, you're seeing something new. You're seeing a new video, you're seeing a new post. It's instant. So when you have to have a conversation, that means you really have to be paying attention. You got to tune in. You have to listen. And for some of us, that's just too much to do right now. It's too much. It's too much. Yeah. And you're right. You know, being able to talk, it takes a sense of comfort. And definitely it takes a sense of, you know, feeling as if I'm in a safe space. And we don't always have that. So because we're coming from a place of hurt, we're coming from a place of, you know, misunderstanding. We don't really want to talk. We prefer not to. So most people will say, well, yeah, I'll call you, and they'll send a text. You know, it's like the screen that kind of protects you, because talking requires that human connection. And if you're dealing with some past hurt or unresolved trauma, you don't want to connect with anyone. You don't really know how, and you don't feel safe and comfortable doing it.
So we're avoiding, is what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Avoidance, deflection, suppression. All of those different things happen when you're coming from a place that you're not comfortable in. So you will deflect and you won't really talk about what you started off talking about, or you'll suppress it and you'll, you know, lessen it, saying, it's not that bad. I can deal with it. It's not a big deal. When it really is. But we don't have that safe space. We don't have that safe space to talk.
Yeah, no. It's a big deal. I don't know if everyone understands. If we eat, safe, right? We go out to eat. The order, the waiter, which you want to tell them.
Right.
And they don't, if you don't want or unless you tell
them. Right.
I think that we can assume, and not even like our romantic partners, spouses, but just people, our children, our friends. No one knows unless you place your order. But to what you and the deflection. And all. And now don't nobody want to talk to you because you got that.
Right. But then that attitude is just another barrier. That attitude could be used as a defense mechanism. You know, if I have an attitude, nobody's going to talk to me. So I'm safe. You know, I don't have to share anything because I have this attitude. Now people don't want to talk to me. That's good. I don't have to share. You know, so that's that the attitude can be used as a defense mechanism to kind of like guard and protect yourself, which goes back to what I'm saying. We don't really have the if a safe space is not created, then we don't have that freedom to express ourselves. We don't have that freedom to, you know, open up and talk comfortably and say, hey, I'm in a space where I won't be judged. I won't be ridiculed. I won't be mocked. You know, nobody's yucking my yum. I can say what I want to say and not be judged about it. It's very difficult to find that safe space. And then if you do find it, before you fully, you know, open up and become transparent, your mind is saying, what if they tell somebody, you know, what if this ends up on, what is it? World Star. You know, what if somebody finds out what I just said? So that immediately, you know, the defense mechanism comes down and it's like, I'm not sharing nothing, you know, because, you know, I don't want anybody to know, or I'm not sharing anything, going back to what I said in the beginning of this interview, because I don't want to seem weak. I'm not a punk. You know, I don't want nobody all up in my business thinking that, you know, I'm soft. So it's so many different barriers and layers that we as a people have to kind of overcome. We got to peel back this onion and remove some of these layers and beliefs and create new narratives so that we can feel comfortable in expressing our emotions and how we feel.
Because I about this book that I'm listening to is called Unapologetic Guide to Black Men. And it starts off about suicide. You know, she touches on, well, maybe this isn't you, but suppose you get a call from someone who's struggling. You know, these are some whatever. They're interesting, but they no one really wants to die. They just want an that they're feeling.
Right.
But it's like, where's the vulnerable place for to their pain or talk about their pain? Humor, the humiliation.
The judgment.
We're seeing people, judgment, yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, we're judged in our support because you got on Nike shoes and an Adidas shirt. You ain't supposed to do that. Like,
right.
So imagine how there's something
mix?
Real.
You can't mix. Right.
Right. Do you think we can ever get to a place where we are more accepted, more vulnerable with one another as people?
That is such a heavy question. It really is. And as much as I would love to see that, like that is my prayer. I know that it's just so many obstacles and barriers that are present that we as a people would have to overcome. You know, I'm sure that we've all heard that crab in a barrel mentality. And it definitely exists, you know, with our culture, because if we're not able to get to a certain place and we see our neighbor doing it, we pulling you back, and you're not about to get to where you're not about to get there before me. And mm-hmm. so that same type of mentality exists with, you know, being open and honest with one another. Like, I'm not going to be open with you before you're open with me, because again, I'm not going to look like no punk. I'm not soft. So I'm not going to be open with you and you're not open with me. And so it's just this constant feud that we have within ourselves, within our own minds. And then we take that, and now it's a feud that we're having with others. And it may not be a physical or even a verbal feud. It's just a psychological. It's the psyche that we're just kind of going at one another and doing it. So I really don't know. I wish that we could, though, because we would be a greater force if we could just, you know, kind of join together and let some of the other foolishness go and work as a team, as a unified front. But we got a lot of work to do.
I heard some about the crab in a barrel theory. Mm-hmm. We need to take a little bit further. It said, who built the barrel?
Hmm.
It's like a wow moment for me, because they're saying created this, whose conditions perhaps they're supposed to be free, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Who created this, right? So
yeah,
always a deeper you can reach in any. But your time, my brother.
Yes, he came in here asking me about a remote, and then he's like, I found it. So, yes, that was him. Man, you see what I'm saying? And that's what that goes back to what I said. You have to advocate for it. I mean, you have to be vigilant, you know, hyper vigilant about your, you got to be hyper vigilant about your self-care time, even with loved ones, even with husbands, with children. Yeah. You know, you have to, you know, just advocate for it. And once those that are around you see that, okay, man, they're serious about this, they'll respect it, because, you know, it wasn't a good example, but he does respect my self-care time. And so do my children. They respect it, and they know, okay, well, you know, mom's like, you know, she's taking care of herself. I'm not messing with her. So once others see that, you know, and then you're serious about it, they will respect it as well. And then you can become a model, you know, and lead others to doing the same.
Well, I think it was perfect to, I told you, I really don't want to add anything on here. And
I think
a lot of times when people do things, for real,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people do things, or they do things mm-hmm. because they're afraid of messing up, right?
And, oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Easily, in my opinion, I could easily be, see, every time I try, and then it's like, I ain't gonna try no more. It's like, no.
Yes.
No, you have to be vigilant. You have to set boundaries. Put up that yellow, don't cross this line.
Definitely.
I think that was a phenomenal thing. If you're serious about a goal and a dream and a business,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, I think
mm-hmm.
you're going after it, so. I love y'all's transparency. Tell him I need him to set time so we can get to record.
Oh boy.
You know, you guys are your listen. Somebody drank his cranberry juice, so I got to get him some more.
Oh my gosh. Anyway.
You know. Thank you. I appreciate you being on the show. The last question, so I can write it down and put it in the notes. You can tell, right? How do people mm-hmm. follow you? Your public social media. How can people follow you?
Okay. Well, first, before I give that information, thank you so much for this opportunity to, you know, join you. I think that, you know, your podcast is. I just think the concept is it's amazing, and I appreciate you developing this space to talk about some of the tough things, some of the things that, you know, we try to ignore and we try to push to the side. So I just want to thank you for having me on, you know, your podcast and sharing this space with me. And again, for developing this, I can't wait to see how it flourishes. And if you ever want to have me back, please feel free. You know, I'll be happy to join. Okay, so how people can reach me on my Instagram is I have an Instagram and I have a Facebook. I'm more active on my Instagram. I'm working on increasing my presence on my Facebook, but I have to, like, you know, kind of balance. And yeah, I'm not there yet. So you can reach me on Instagram at Dr_KJ LMFT.
So at D
underscore
J L M F T.
Yes, and spell that out. So it would be K A Y J A Y L yes, M F T.
Got it.
Yes.
So we'll make sure that so people can just kind of click on it. And thank you for your kind words. I really appreciate the receipt. Be light on, but touching on things that we don't necessarily confront or face. But you are a true gem in your family, of your various organizations that you belong to, and you and I'm still like, you are vital to this life. You're vital to personal life. I'm by giving people their virtual flowers and saying I love you. And I thank you so very much participating. Well, you got the trophy, and now you are part of my angel squad. So
yeah. Thank you so much for those kind words, and I love you more. And yeah, just keep up the good work, Arian, because your light is shining, and you know, we have to definitely, you know, show appreciation, and as you kept saying, give flowers, you know, while people can still see and hear them and smell them. So you know, keep shining. You are a beacon in the community. You are really helping people. You're doing so much. And I'm just, you know, thankful, grateful, and humble to be part of your angel squad and part of your team, part of your family. And yes, I love you too.
Thank you. I will talk to you later.
All right. Have a good one.
All right.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
That's it, family. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you learned. I hope that you can take something away from the LLC. I hope that we can change our zip code. I hope that we can do better than a laundromat, liquor store, and church. I hope that we all end up having real LLCs, businesses, entrepreneurship, all that good stuff. I wish you nothing but God's best for your life. You can contact the show at idefinemyzipcode@gmail.com. Until then, you guys, let's get it.